Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to look out and see your smiling faces. I'm reminded of Matthew 19 this morning. Matthew 19, people were bringing little children to Jesus. His disciples didn't like that. They thought they were bothering the great man, the Son of God. Jesus said, "Do not hinder them. To such belongs the kingdom of heaven." We are blessed. Yes, it can be a little noisy. But I'll tell you what, there are a lot of churches in which there's no sound. And they pay for what we have. In fact, it's almost as if I've done a lesson about it. Pretty handy. I just happen to have that one in my pocket ahead of time. No, it's not. This is both a look back and a look forward at where we are as a congregation. And we'll have more of this at the end of the year. And of course, we'll have more with the elders in just a minute. We are blessed beyond measure. I mean, beyond measure. We are a congregation of God's people. We meet at 782 North 2nd Street in Clarksville, Tennessee. We had 6 babies born in the first 10 months of the year. 6. We have 2 more on the way that we know of. We are blessed in ways that we can't understand. Our building, as you may have noticed, is filled to capacity from time to time. We are full and we are overflowing. We are blessed with overseers and deacons, a legion of workers, teachers, encouragers, and contributors. And the title of this lesson is wrong. It's not what makes North 2nd Street grow. It's who makes North 2nd Street grow. And this is the focus of our lesson this morning. We want to praise God. We want to thank God. And we need to understand the ways in which God shines in our life when we do His will. And yes, when churches grow, God is glorified. So that's the whole idea of what we're doing today. This is a chart. I am not a very good chart maker. You can probably tell that. The lower line, the orange line, is the percentage of growth year over year. So how much we grew as compared to the year before. The chart is from 18 through 23. And then the blue line on top is just the raw attendance number. And you notice, of course, the dip there. That's thanks to COVID. We had... Of course, periods of time when we did not meet, and then we met once a week, and then on and on and on. So those things are completely understandable. But I'll tell you something about that. Our number went back up. There are a lot of congregations who went through COVID whose numbers have not gone back up. Either the congregation split over disagreements about how to handle COVID, and I'm telling you what, there were plenty of them, and I am thrilled to say that this congregation got along beautifully. We are different people. We have different ideas. But we put those things aside for the glory of the Lord. So even though that dip occurred, you can tell we're headed on out. You probably can't see the number there. In the first two quarters of 2023, we averaged 80. We're looking at 86 and 91 in the last 2 weeks. I don't know that we're going to accomplish that for the year. Let's hope so. Let's just encourage everybody to come and be here as much as you can. But that's who we are. Do you know how many preachers I talk to all the time who none of that is true for them? I've talked to a lot of preachers in the last month and a half just because of the way things have worked. My uncle Carl passed away. We had a get-together at my uncle Paul and Kathy's house a couple of weeks before. I've been in Tampa in a meeting. I've just been eat up with talking to preachers. Do you know how many of them told me the story we have to tell? 0. We can't get people to come back. That's not been a problem for us. We have a live feed such as it is. As far as I know, there are 2 regular members who don't make it and watch on the live feed, and both of them are confined to the house and would be whether there was a live feed or not. Churches they have 20, 30, 40 people who won't come back to service just because they just watch it on the live feed. We don't have that problem. Young people, when I tell people that we're averaging 80 and we've got, now listen to me, I did the numbers on it, 14 young families or individuals in this congregation. 14. That's a stunning number. That's people who are under 30, 35-ish, with kids, without kids. We are just exploding at the seams. It's not one thing, it's not one person, but it is one being. And that is God. God is at work in this congregation. When you see our numbers increase, when you see those things happen, when you see us be at peace when others are not, That is God and nothing else. And it is human beings who've given themselves to God, behaving in a spiritual way, not a fleshly way. And in that, God is glorified. So what makes this congregation grow? One other thing before I get off this. One of the other things that this group has that other groups doesn't have is we have converts who are not family members. You know what I mean by that? You know how many times I've had preachers bemoan to me, well, I tell you, it's just a different world out there. Nobody listens to the gospel anymore. We just can't seem to make anybody Christians that's not a family member. I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm going to say 50% maybe of the baptisms we have here at North 2nd Street are not those raised in the church. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it works. It worked in the time of the apostles and it works today. And we are an example of that. So, how do we continue what we have going on? How is it that any church, but particularly the church here at North 2nd Street, continues to grow? Two things: love God and love people. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22. At times in the gospel, Jesus is asked this question. At other times, he asks it. In this particular instance, he is answering the question. Someone has come to him and said, Savior, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Teacher. They call him teacher. Many of the times, those people calling Jesus teacher don't really mean it. They're almost saying they're setting him up. You ever been flattered before you ask a question? That's many times what's going on. Oh, since you're the great teacher, you know the answer. And then they have a question that they plan to trick him with. So this is what's going on in Matthew 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. If this church is going to grow, we have to love God. And then when we know what God has done for us, go out and tell other people. We are one man who's found an oasis in the desert telling another man who's dying of thirst about the oasis. We should be people who understand how we are saved, and we are saved by the grace of God, and that nothing could do that save the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And because of that, because we're going to heaven, we should go to our neighbors and our friends and go, you too, you don't have to go to destruction. You can go to have eternal life. And that only starts with loving God, understanding that we are saved by God. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. It is God who gave His Son. It is God who provided His blood. It's God who is just and God who is justified. Praise His name. So anything we do here that involves loving people relates to how much we understand God's love for us. And here's where I want you to understand something about this. This is not something for the elders alone. This is not something for the deacons alone, nor the Bible class teachers, nor particularly for the preacher. This is for everyone. This lesson is for you. I don't care if you're new to us. I don't care if you've been with us a long time. This lesson is for you. Because if you're not a member here, we want you to be. If you're not a Christian, we want you to be. And we'd love to have you here. We're kind of jealous about that. We like to keep the sheep that we get. So this lesson is for you, whether you know it or not. Because God works through His people. God works through His people. This is very important to understand. Moses, great man of God, yes? When you think of Moses, what comes to mind? The plagues of Egypt? The Passover? The crossing of the Red Sea? The Ten Commandments? Water from a rock? Moses is one of the greatest men in the history of the Bible. But who was really at work? God. God worked through Moses. God can work through you today. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Here's why. Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Jesus walks on the water. And then you want to know what his critics have to say? Well, why can't you bring us food like Moses? He just fed 5,000 people, and the sign that they asked for is, get this, feed us. Jesus, in answering that, corrects who they understand fed them in the first place. It was not Moses who fed the Israelites in the wilderness. It was Jehovah God. Take a look at John chapter 6. We'll read briefly verse 32, 31 and 32. John chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. And this, you need to understand the first speaker here. These are the Pharisees and Sadducees. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now Jesus here understands that they misunderstand who the He is. And they're thinking of the He here as Moses, and Jesus is about to correct them. Verse 32, Jesus then said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. It was not Moses who crossed the Red Sea. It was not Moses who made the Ten Commandments. It was God working through Moses. Now, Moses is important because it matters that God has chosen to work through people. Could God have done all those things? Yes. Did he particularly need Moses? No, he did not. Was it totally within God's power to divide the Red Sea and get the Israelites to go through? Yes. But God was wanting them to understand that somebody who walked in faith, somebody who walked in faith and could be trusted, God worked through. God wanted the people of Israel to see the faith of Moses. God wanted them to see Moses have faith so that they would do what? So that they would have faith. Book of Romans talks about the fact that a righteousness from God has been revealed from faith for faith. What does that mean? It means that once we understand we can be saved by faith, that story of God's love for us, His sacrifice for us, His willingness to allow Him to become children of God through faith in His name, His Son's name, that should produce faith in someone else. So just as God allowed Moses to do these things and to have faith, He wanted the people of Israel to see that, yes, God is glorified when His people walk in faith. Our scripture reading this morning came from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to imagine that now that you know what the lesson is about, you probably knew this scripture was coming. This is the bedrock for this lesson. This is the scripture from which I got most of it. Paul here is dealing with problems in the church. What are the problems in the church? They are divided. They are divided because of men's opinions. Divided between men's opinions of other people and themselves. Brothers and sisters, the book of 1 Corinthians is written from beginning to end to have people stop that. You remember our chart here? If you want that to go the other way, you have some bold opinion that you don't think anybody else has, and then you stand on a rock and say, if somebody doesn't agree with me, they're wrong. The chart will take a downward turn. If I stand up and I say, well, I believe brother so-and-so is right on this subject. I believe this other brother so-and-so is right on this subject. If I do that, has that happened before? Yes, it has. Is it common in human? Yes, it has. Is it wrong? Yes, it is. And Paul is desperately trying to correct that in the letter of 1 Corinthians. And in doing so, he gets us to look away from man, away from Moses, away from Abraham, away from Apollos, away from Paul, away from Peter, and to look to God. Because the He who gave the manna in the wilderness was not Moses, and the He who brings salvation is not you or me or some other preacher or some teacher of some doctrine that we think is important. What should our attitude be? What was Paul's attitude? If there was anyone in the world who had a right to be upset about this, don't you think it would be Paul? Paul had been there and worked with this congregation for a long time. He had loved them, done all these things he could do. And here all of a sudden, they're claiming Paul's not even an apostle. We love Peter and we love Apollos. Let me tell you something, that would have been hard on me. This would have been a different letter if I wrote it. And I tell you what I probably would not do. I would not humble myself and say, as long as you become a Christian. But this was Paul's attitude. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Read it with me, please. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I, that is Paul, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive the wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Is Paul important or God? Is Apollos important or God? Does Apollos give growth? Nope. We have nothing. We are nothing, Paul says. And Paul was somebody. Right. This is Paul the apostle. Paul says, I'm nothing without God. Moses was nothing without God. I am nothing without God. This church will not grow without God. So when we see growth, praise God. When we see a lack of growth, ask of God. If we see a lack of growth, maybe what we need to make look back and say is, are we divided? Are we of Paul or Apollos or Peter? Or are we of Christ? Do we love God first and love other people? We are but servants. When people serve in faith, God works to His glory. When people serve in faith, God works to His glory. So what must we do so that God can work through us? We want God to work through us. What must we do? One word. Repent. Repent. You're thinking to yourself, preacher man, what are you talking about? You don't know what I need to repent of? No, I don't. But I tell you what we need to do. All of us, we need to repent. And that word in its essence means to change. To change. If me becoming a Christian makes no difference, I may not have become a Christian. If this church doesn't grow, we need to change. We need to repent. When people see God working in my life, when people see that I have enough love and faith in Jehovah God, that I change, that I become more like Christ and less like the flesh, that I become more concerned with my fellow Christian than I come with myself, they will see God. And they will know that's something not of this world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 12 says this. Basically, it says that if we live in this world and we're different, people will notice. If I change, if I don't hang out with my fellow workers when they want to go hit the club or when they want to do something that's against God's will, I've told this story before. I had to have a personal kind of a reckoning on this over dirty jokes. I worked for a car dealership here, and man, car dealer, you got a lot of spare time. You're at the car lot from 8 in the morning to 8 at night, and you got a lot of spare time, and a lot of guys like to tell dirty jokes. And for a while, I would go, and I would find myself in these groups of guys, and they would tell a dirty joke, and I didn't rebuke them, I didn't say anything, I just kind of, ha-ha, and walked off. Do you know what I started doing? When I'd see the group coming, I just wouldn't go over there. I never said a word. I never said a word to anyone I ever worked with about those things. But do you know what wouldn't happen over time? If they said a curse word, they'd apologize. If they started to tell a dirty joke and they realized I was there, they'd stop. I changed. I repented. And because I repented, they realized that God was there. Not that I was there, but that God was there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh. Don't indulge in that anymore. Change, repent. Which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Not glorify me, not glorify you, glorify God. If this church is insistent on giving God the glory, If this church is insistent on loving God and loving people, we will grow. How can God work through a people who won't change? He can't. Will God work through a people who have changed and abstained from the lust of the flesh, who are different than the world? Yes. Yes, they will. Nothing declares God is alive more than a changed life. Nothing declares God is alive more than a changed life. Strive for meekness. Be poor in spirit. Have a pure heart. Be a peacemaker. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Mourn your sin before God. You're thinking, that's hard. I may not want to do that. That is all correct. But if I repent and I do them, do you know what people will know? They will know I didn't come from man. They will know my behavior and my heart and my life and my faith are not of man, but of God. And Peter says, if I live that way, when God comes, they will glorify God. They will glorify God. So when we're talking about growing the church, is there a silver bullet? This is a quick answer. No. I used to be in the advertising business. We always used to talk about a silver bullet, that there's no silver bullet. You want to have this one message that you get out on one medium and it says everything you want to say and reaches all the people you want to reach. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as the one thing that makes a church grow. There's a list on the board there. There's more I could add. Do you know what the one thing is that makes the church grow? All of it. All of it. All of it. And you may be better at one part of it than I am. And someone else may be better at something else than you are. But I tell you what, if we all do what we can, if we all do the one thing we can do, all the things will get done. People will glorify God. There are things that we can do. Hospitality. I don't know of a church that grows without hospitality. Have people in your home. Take people out to dinner. Show you're interested in people. Have a conversation. Prayer of faith. Pray for people. When you say, can I pray for you, and you pray for somebody, do you know what that says to them? They believe a God is real. They believe in prayer. They're a person of faith. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Don't be ashamed. It's the power of God unto salvation. Have Bible studies in your home as a congregation. Do what you can. Do so on campus. Cards, calls, an extended right hand with a smile. Meaningful worship. A good Bible study program. All of it. All of it. Can one person do all of it? Nope. Can just the elders do all of it? Nope. You can have the best elders in the world. If you have sheep that aren't friendly, if you have sheep that won't have study the Bible, if people that won't sheep that won't preach, sheep that won't pray with people, it won't matter. You won't grow. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It's our last, sort of our last verse. Ephesians 4, 15. Turn over there with me, please. There is no silver bullet. There is no one thing. There is all the things. The body of Christ is made up of individual members. And the hand cannot say to the eye, I don't need you. And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We are all different. We have, when I had that board up there, there was something on there you can do that maybe I can't do, or vice versa. But if we just stand back and say, well, I'm not going to do my thing until Truman Brown does his thing, where does that get us? Bill Mayo says that I don't see Ronnie Johnson doing his thing. I'm not going to do my thing. Are we going to grow? No, we are not. Sorry for picking on people. We're going to grow when we all say, I'm going to do my thing because I love God. And that God who loved me teaches me to love people. Ephesians 4:15, the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. so that it builds itself up in love. Do you think people will know if we love each other? Do you think people will know if we love them when they walk in the back door? They do. If we're all striving together for the same cause, if we're loving God and loving people, and we're doing the thing that we can do, the Bible promises, promises we will grow. Not might grow, will grow. The whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Our true, actual, final verse comes from the word of Jesus Christ. Why do any of this? When I repent, who should get the glory? When we contribute well, who should get the glory? When we attend well, who should get the glory? When we convert sinners and save their souls through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the washing of water with the word, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory when we sing? Who gets the glory when we praise? God, 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 God. And Jesus says, when you grow, God is glorified. Growth is not some kind of TV preacher idea. It's not some kind of thing where we're trying to buy out the Houston Rockets and have services in their place. That's not what we're talking about. But God is glorified when a local church grows. Why? Because it is God who gives the increase. It is people who love God through whom God works. And when those people are joined together and tabernacling is a temple of the Spirit, God is glorified. John 15:8, the lesson will be yours. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's the lesson. Would you pray with me, please? Our God, our Father, Lord, we praise your name. We come to you, Lord, humbled at your great grace toward us. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much, Lord, that you shed his blood, that we could have salvation, that we could come to you in faith, know our sins are forgiven, know that when we walk in the light, we are cleansed from our unrighteousness by the blood of your Son. We praise your name. Lord, we praise you for what has been done here. We praise you for what you will do. We ask that you strengthen us and encourage us. Help us to do the things that we can do. Help us to work properly. Help us to grow. Help us to glorify your name, Jehovah God in the highest. We pray in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, man, we want to change that right now. We don't want you to live anymore in fear. We want you to live in faith. We want you to walk by faith. We want perfect love to drive out fear in your life because fear has to do with judgment. And the one who's been baptized into Jesus Christ has passed from judgment into eternal life. Woo! Let's go. Let's get a bus today. Come, Lord Jesus. Let it happen today. If you're a Christian who's fallen away and you need to be restored, or you just need the prayers of people through whom God is working, come forward as we stand and we sing.